Pastor Dave Rolfe speaks of a real problem in the church today.
It's a shame that sometimes churches are hotbeds for gossip, because what happens then is you keep to yourself. You don't connect with others because, you know, you're afraid. The Bible says confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. But, you know, a lot of times it's like, man, if I confess something, what are they going to do with it? Can it remain between us? Can there be confidentiality?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
So someone comes up to you and starts speaking negatively about another person. What do you say and how do you handle it? It can be tempting to chime in and join in on the gossip. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll be encouraged in a far different direction as we continue to point the way to smarter living. Pastor Dave Rolfe is in the Proverbs.
Well, today, as we're continuing our series through the book of Proverbs, each week we're looking at a different topic in Proverbs. And the topic that we're discussing today is gossip. And gossip is something that we almost all recognize, oh, it's a bad thing. Most of us know that other people gossip a lot. It's easy to beat ourselves up over it too, because gossip is just such a common thing. And yet it's really hard to nail down, okay, what exactly constitutes gossip? Because sometimes you think of gossip as being talking about another person to another person, but you almost can't have conversation without some of that being integrated into it. Other people would zero in on the idea of speaking about someone with malicious intent, a desire to hurt them. But sometimes you gossip and you're really not trying to hurt them. You're trying to make yourself look good, or you're just wanting to get something off your chest. Gossip usually involves some kind of exaggeration of, you know, like filling in the gaps. You have certain facts, but then now you're adding to it suppositions and things like that. But this week in studying the topic, I realized that when Ann and I have been talking, all of a sudden one of us will go, wait, is that gossip? And even when we were talking as a staff about it, it's like, it's hard to even talk about gossip without gossiping about gossipers. I remembered this week when I was a little kid, we went camping up in Yosemite one time, and my youngest sister, Joy, who was like 6 at the time, well, we were in Yosemite, people are camped next to other people. And so there was a family camping next to us. They were just setting up camp as we were, and they were all pretty large people. And so we must have been saying something about it, but a little while later, I was laying in the hammock between the two campgrounds, and I heard my little sister Joy go over and talk to them. And she said, my whole family thinks you're all fat, but I don't. She was a little chubby at the time, but it's like gossiping about gossip. And then when I went and told on Joy for saying that, then it's like now we're talking. It just really compounds problems. But every one of us sort of enjoys gossip to some degree. It's much more fun to watch TMZ than it is to watch CNBC or something, you know, because we like to hear the stories. Alice Roosevelt, who was the daughter of Teddy Roosevelt, was famous for a lot of things. She was a funny, funny person. But she had to be the first lady for a while because her mom had died. And when Teddy became president, you know, she was 17 years old and had to do all these official state dinners and things like that. And, you know, the old saying that says, if you don't have anything good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. Well, her version of that is, if you don't have anything good to say about somebody, come sit by me. Because she was acknowledging what we all know is that it's kind of fun to hear things, the bad things that are out there. Sometimes when we hear bad things about other people, it makes us feel a little bit better about ourselves. But the Proverbs has quite a bit to say about gossip, about speaking negatively about others, and for us to understand the consequences of that. And ultimately, it comes down to, this isn't so that we can point at other people and say they are gossiping. Because as soon as I point at someone and say they're gossiping, now I'm gossiping. But it's to really understand, Solomon wants us to understand the consequences of a mentality that just brings up bad things about other people and discusses it and talks about them in a derogatory way. So the first passage let's look at is in Proverbs chapter 11, beginning with verse 9 and down through verse 13. What we see here in Proverbs 11 is Solomon points out the effect of gossip on a neighborhood, on a community, and realizing that when, as gossip increases, the sense of connection with the people around us becomes damaged. Beginning with verse 9, he says, "The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, and he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." Notice throughout there mentions of the city, mentions of neighborhood. It's really, his focus is on community. And there in verse 13, he kind of gets to a part of what, when things go bad in the community, here's what breaks down. As he says again, "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." The idea there is, if we are going to get along as a community, as a group of people, as a church, then we certainly can't have a standard that says everything is fair game. We can talk about anything. We can dig up and discover secrets and publish them. Now, in any community, there has to be, for a community to be bound together, there has to be sort of an implicit agreement, at least, that there are some things that should be public and there are some things that should remain private. Now, in our culture today, in our society, because of the advance of communications, because of the, you know, social networking, because of everyone having a camera in their phone, everyone having access to the technology that can put information out there, there are less and less secrets. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when, I mean, it depends how old you are. For some of you, it may seem like, you know, eons ago. But remember when John F. Kennedy was the president of the United States? There were people who knew and understood that he was kind of a philanderer. That wasn't a deep, dark secret. But the press, the people who ran against him, you know, when he was campaigning, they would never bring that up. They wouldn't talk about that. It was just kind of understood that, okay, what he is doing, that's his personal business. But today, in our political realm, man, if there's something like that going on, look at how Bill Clinton was treated so much differently even than JFK was. But that's where community breaks down. Once we decide that we have a right to know everything about everyone else, there's damage that results. Now, we can always argue about what should be fair game. And I could easily contend that, well, you know, the people have a right to know. And, you know, what is Jesus said, what you do in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. And we need to understand that whatever we do, whatever we say might be published. But today, if you say something or it gets out there, you are quoted on the internet, it is there forever for anyone to see. And a lot of people today who are applying for jobs and finding out, of course, if you're applying for a job, they're going to Google you. They're going to see, who do you follow on Twitter? They're going to see, what kinds of things do you like on Facebook, and it's there are almost no secrets. And you would think that everything being on the table would draw us closer together, but it really doesn't work that way, and that's what Solomon is saying here. The price of wanting to know everything, the price of no secrets, the price of losing that sense of, hey, you know what? There are some things I just want to know about. That's gone today. And Solomon says, with that, you lose your sense of community. You will lose your relationships with others. If you've ever been in a small church and, you know, 100, 200 people, you realize that the worst thing, and everyone will say this, the worst thing about being in a small church, and one of the biggest reasons why people choose to go to larger churches, is because in a small church, everyone knows your business. It's kind of ironic that the worst thing about a big church is nobody knows your business. Nobody knows who you are. It's one of the reasons why, like Jerry was saying this morning, we really encourage people to get in a small group where you choose people to be with who you want them to know your business, but you trust them that they're not going to be burning you for it. It's an important balance. It's a shame that sometimes churches are hotbeds for gossip, because what happens then is you keep to yourself. You don't connect with others because, you know, you're afraid. The Bible says confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, but, you know, a lot of times it's like, man, if I confess something, what are they going to do with it? Can it remain between us? Can there be confidentiality? You've probably heard the old joke about the story about the three pastors who got together because they realized they needed more accountability in their lives. And so they decided, let's just share the issues of our lives. And so the first pastor said, well, I have to confess to you guys that sometimes I've been involved in some inappropriate relationships with women, and I really want God to give me the victory over that. I'd appreciate if you guys would pray for that. Okay. And the second guy says, well, there have been things I've done with the church's money that I shouldn't have done. There are times when I use church things for personal use, and so I really need prayer for me to have more financial integrity. The third pastor is thinking for a little while, and they go, well, you know, how about you? And he said, well, my biggest problem is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. But that's the reality. What happens in that is people begin to retreat into themselves. People learn the lesson, I can't talk to anyone. When we feel like we can't talk to anyone, we've lost community. And Solomon says, that will break up neighbors. That will break up these friendships, these relationships that we really need to be healthy and to survive. Now, turn back to Proverbs chapter 10, and we see another thing that happens from a breakdown in the kind of trust that eliminates gossip from our lives. Proverbs 10 and verse 18, he says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. The idea here is when we gossip, when we talk about others, inevitably it compromises our own integrity. Integrity is one of the most important things for us to have personally. Integrity means that you're not a phony. Integrity is honesty. Integrity is that you are the same person everywhere. You're an integrated person. An integer in mathematics is a whole number as opposed to a fraction. And in terms of our mental health, what happens when someone becomes mentally unstable, they lose the sense of knowing reality from fantasy. Now, it's interesting and sad, really, that once you decide to live a divided life that lacks integrity, a fractioned, fragmented life, it's not good for you mentally. Because if you are somebody who divides yourself, eventually you're not even sure what you think and who you are. And like he says, when you hide hatred and have lying lips, when you're just a phony, you act like you like somebody when you don't. You're better off just saying, look, here's the truth. I'm bugged at you. I don't like what you've done. I don't approve of how you are. Wouldn't you rather have someone come right out and say, I am angry with you or I hate you, rather than for them to pretend to like you? It's psychologically really unhealthy to live a life that's dichotomizing, that says, okay, I'm this person over here and I'm this person over here. And the famous quote, dichotomizing pathologizes, or living a split personality makes you sick. And pathology dichotomizes. See, when you're mentally ill, it makes you dichotomize. And when you dichotomize, it ends up making you mentally ill. And so he recognizes that. Look, if you have hatred, don't pretend not to. Bob Dylan in this song, Positively 4th Street, and a line that I love because I've felt it different times. And in him talking about people who pretend to like you in a real surfacey way, he says, you see me on the street, you always act surprised. You say, how are you? Good luck. But you don't mean it. You know as well as me you'd rather see me paralyzed. Why don't you just come out once and scream it? And I think when people are so phony, you just wish you'd go, look, just if you hate me, say you hate me. Don't pretend like you love me. I don't want people talking about me and saying, you know, I really love Dave, but... Whenever we say but in a conversation, it's like when you say to somebody, I don't want to offend you, but I'm going to. It's like here he's just going, that's stupid to live a dichotomized life, to live a life where you're just a fake. You don't understand how unhealthy it is to be okay with living that way. And he says, that's what gossip does. It causes you to hide your true feelings and to very foolishly slander others. And of course, like we saw in chapter 11, it also breaks up community for sure. Now, the next passage I want to look at is over in chapter 16. So you can turn over there, Proverbs 16, and beginning with verse 27. He says, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it's on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man, a twisted man, sows strife. And a whisperer separates the best of friends. Now, it's one thing in the community as a whole to say, boy, people, everybody's talking about everyone else. There are different factions. There are different cliques. And it's one thing for one clique to talk against another clique. That's what breaks up community. And then the gossip also corrupts us emotionally and psychologically. But the sad thing is, you can easily lose your best friend by doing this. The whisperer separates the best of friends. We all need to be a part of a community, but we also need those people who are really close to us. And by just whispering, by just these subtle kind of digs and these communications, you can end up losing the best friend that you have in the world. This is what happens when marriages break down, when there is no longer a respect for privacy, when there's no longer the kind of esteem that says, I want people to believe the best about you. What is a best friend? If it's not somebody who's really good at being a friend, somebody who wants to say the best about you. And I think sometimes not only does gossip destroy friendships, but sometimes to be able to get involved and step in might save a friendship. In fact, if you want a definition for a good friend, it would be somebody who says good things about you behind your back. Somebody who talks about you in a positive way. Years ago, I remember after church on a Sunday night over at Calvary, the pastors sometimes would be hanging around afterwards after everyone's gone. And we were in the office and it was dark. And people started talking about a guy who was on staff there who was a good friend of mine, still is a good friend of mine. And it was pastors that I know he respected greatly were taking shots at him. And I didn't do it, but I thought, I should stick up for him. But what they were saying was funny. I guess my own personal integrity was probably like, I don't want them to then shoot at me. And so I just didn't say anything. And after it was like time to go, I walked down to the other end of the office to get my mail out of my box. And my friend was standing there in the dark. And he was hearing his pastors talking about him in a bad way. And I think worst of all, he knew I was there and I didn't say anything. If you want to be a real good friend to someone, when you hear people talking about your friend, you don't have to just say, you're a bunch of phonies, you lousy gossips. You can put in a good word for them. You can just say, well, I wonder maybe he was thinking this, or maybe the reason he was doing that is that, or just to say, man, I know I've heard him speaking really highly of you. And so I think they really have respect for you. Just to be a friend, you will be a true friend if you can spread good things about someone that you care about. And if when you hear someone casting shade on them, that you just go, well, you know, you don't have to, oh, you're wrong. You know, then you start it up, then they're going to go gossip about you. But just to say, and I get why you could think that way, but let me tell you another side of this person. Let me tell you what they have done or how they have worked. That's what true friendship is.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now with this parting challenge, here again is Pastor Dave.
If somebody's your friend, then be supportive of them in your speech with others. If you are married to someone, support them and speak well of them. You know, if they're that bad, hey, then you need to deal with that. And chances are you're just frustrated with them. Just keep your mouth shut so that at least your relationship isn't affected by that. It's so important. And it's so hard and challenging ultimately to do. Now turn over to chapter 25 and verse 23. He says, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. We've talked about anger and how destructive anger can be. When we are angry, we lose control. When we are angry, we overstate things. When we are angry, we start a fight that then results in anger. But here's Solomon saying, you understand this? If you are talking bad about somebody else, if you are casting aspersions on them, anger is going to result, just like when you feel that cold wind coming, you know the rain is going to be expected. So that's another thing to consider. Do you want more anger in your life? Do you want to be more angry? Do you want people to be angry at you? Then go ahead and gossip. Go ahead and whisper. Go ahead and slander. Because guaranteed, anger is going to be the result of it. Oh, maybe not with the person that you're talking to. Maybe they think it's great what you're saying. Maybe they're going to agree with you totally and you feel better. But sooner or later, somebody's going to be mad at you.
We'll hear more about the way to smarter living as we dive deeper into the Proverbs next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Raw. God bless. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play.